Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Naked Departure Talk Show. This show is live and interactive, and we invite the audience to join the discussion. You can call into the studio by clicking on the Skype button which appears on the show page, or by calling us on 1-914-205-5805. Alternatively, you can post your questions or comments in the chat room, which also appears on the show page. Thank you for tuning in. The management of Naked Departure Talk Show does not represent, endorse, or validate any views, opinions, products, or services promoted on this show.
Good morning. This is Sherry Veronica. Today is Tuesday, October 4th, 2016, and I am streaming live. If you go to nakeddeparture.com, the website, you can see where the stream links are. And if you don't pick me up on one radio station, you will pick me up on another or another. I am actually streaming on three different radio stations, so there's no reason why I should not be picked up by one or the other. Yes, I think I'm on air. I can see all the lights are on, and I'm getting better at this. I cannot believe it myself, but I think I'm beginning to understand how the internet works. Welcome into the studio, everyone. We want to mention our family members in Jamaica, in the Bahamas, and I think that storm is going to go through Cuba, it's going through Haiti, it's going to come up the east coast of the United States. Hurricane Matthew has strengthened, and I think it's a Category 4, and we want to send our best wishes. Hope everyone is safe and secure. I hope everyone, hope people have enough food in their homes, cereal and things that you can open up, because when the electricity is gone, whatever you have in your refrigerator, that starts to go bad rapidly. So wishing everyone safety in the storm that is pending and probably onshore in Jamaica as we speak, probably onshore in Haiti as we speak, and it seems as though it's a slow-moving system. It stays around for a couple of days with a lot of flooding and a lot of devastation. So that goes out to everyone in the area. I wanted to talk before. Yes, today we want to put on part two of the interview we had yesterday with Charlie Spice. He spoke about Christopher Hawksworth. They were friends for 30 years, and we had Charlie Spice in the studio yesterday, and he spoke about that friendship. And we wanted, after I've done talking, I want to play part two so that that can be recorded and made a part of the record on the blog talk section of our blogs. Today we got in a blog that talked about the drug dealers in Barbados that are being assassinated one by one. Christopher Hawksworth was the latest. He was shot in the back of his head, and as we know, there is someone who presented to the police department in Barbados with an attorney because it is alleged that they were friends. He was friends with Christopher Hawksworth, and they're saying that he may have information concerning the assassination of Christopher. So today we got into Naked Departure that the next one in the gunman's side, in the assassin's side, is someone from the Red Sea area in Barbados. He is someone that we have blogged about on Naked Departure prior. We have seen him being arrested. We have heard about him being a drug dealer. We have heard about him being affiliated with some of the politicians who sit in office, because they say, and it is alleged, that he was giving out money for votes, buying votes in Barbados, which is something commonplace in the wider world. That is something that you can go to jail for. You do go to jail for, but in Barbados, it's commonplace. It's something that no one will go to jail for selling or buying a vote. So this warning goes out to Ross. If you go to nakeddeparture.com, you will see his full name. He is an alleged. He has been arrested, and it is alleged that he is a drug dealer. He is big on the drug scene in Barbados, and we got word in today that he is the next one, and maybe with this warning, he can avoid that bullet. Maybe with that, with this warning he got from nakeddeparture.com, he can turn himself around and maybe give us some information. We would like to know who the people are in political office that he works with. Michael Carrington has asked, he is the Speaker of the House in Parliament in Barbados, and he has asked citizens if they know of anyone who is an elected official who is crooked, who is slanted, who is banked, to please call their names. And Ross, maybe this is a good time for you to think about what that politician who also has been accused of holding on to client money and probably waiting for the client to die because he is elderly and disabled. But that particular politician, Michael Carrington, wants you to call names. Tell who you are working with, who is crooked. So, Ross, this may be a time for you to come clean and send a blog, and it can be anonymous. Send that blog into nakeddeparture.com, and we will blog on your behalf. We will, with pleasure, blog on your behalf. We only ask that you keep the information truthful. It should be firsthand. It should be something that you know, not that you know that someone else said this person said this. And it should be firsthand information, and we hope that we can get you to write a blog into Naked Departure and expose some of the criminality that's going on in Barbados that a lot of people talk about, but not many people actually come out and expose. There are not a whole lot of whistleblowers in Barbados. So with that said, we just wanted to get that in there before we start to air the second part of that interview regarding Chris Hawksworth, that we had his friend Charlie Spice in to speak on his behalf. And we anticipate, because we cannot stop it, we anticipate there will be other people being assassinated in Barbados. And like we said on the blog, when foreign drug dealers deal with Barbadians, they have to give some leeway, because Barbadians will steal from you. It's in their blood. It's a trait. It's the nature of Barbadians. They're out. They came out from probably Nigeria during that time when there was slavery, and they're descendants of these people, the Igbo. So if you were to do some history, you would see that there's a trait that runs through almost every island. Everyone could have a certain trait. And the trait of the Barbadian is to be traitors, really. They are very dishonest people. And if you are expecting that you are going to provide them with the best cocaine and the best marijuana there is to sell or buy, you are going to be robbed. They will rob you. The drug dealers in Barbados will rob you. They will take your drugs and spend your money. So that's something that foreign drug dealers have to keep in mind and, you know, not be so cross and not be so serious when it comes to dealing with the Barbadians, because if that's the case, there would be no drug dealers in Barbados. You will have to kill them all. And what sense would that make? It makes absolutely no sense going somewhere and dealing with someone that has a particular trait and then using the trait against them. It makes no sense at all. So we encourage people to get to know who they're dealing with and not have such a heavy hand when it comes to things that are coming to people naturally. And with that said, I think I should start to record part two of the interview we had yesterday with Charlie Spice. Okay, let's go.
Police actually ask me questions on a number of occasions. I warn me, be careful hanging with that guy, because, you know, they're gonna think that you're involved. And so I've been warned. I mean, how ironic is it that Charlie Spice is being warned? Can you imagine that? I find that so ironic and even funny that I'm being warned to protect myself.
There was some truth to it, because he ended up taking a bullet to the back of his head. He probably didn't even see it coming, which is, I guess, it's a good way to go sometimes, you know. Who knows?
Yes.
But I
don't know. You know, I've not read. I'm discovering more from my talk with you today than I've read in the press. I read when he was missing, and I read when they found him. I didn't even read the whole thing. It was so upsetting to me. I didn't even read the whole article, and I've refused to research information. I'm kind of waiting until the dust settles to get the whole story. But I'd like to know what, you know, as much as the police is able to find out. Because, I mean, apparently he left home on the Friday morning and to take his kids to school. And so sometime between, I mean, whoever killed him had to have, kidnapped him.
Had to have been sitting in the back seat of his car, had to have been maybe also part of a passenger, because he was a passenger, the driver, and probably picked someone up, you know, he was probably set up. Whoever killed him.
Was it the same H plated car that he was found dead in, or was it another car?
That's what they're saying. That it was a
hard car. But he was driving that car when he left home, so then somebody else drove that car there.
Yeah, I don't know. They say he was in the passenger seat.
He had to have been kept against his will for quite a long time, because he would have, obviously he was missing all the time, so he never made contact. So he was obviously in the presence of those individuals or that individual for quite some time.
He owed Trinidadians money for cocaine. That's the gossip. That's the rumor. So was he a vicious person in case of emergency? Was he a person who can really fight and really put some blows into you and get really vicious? Did you know that side of him?
That's an interesting question, because I've never seen Chris in an argument. Chris has always been a soft-spoken individual. And I've never seen Chris in a fight. I've never seen Chris in an argument that could possibly lead to a fight. And that is the truth. Now that you're talking about this, that's a good question. I would be... And then he was in the passenger seat, so why did he not try to escape? Where then he probably would,
The best surprise is a surprise. If he probably was reading the paper and being kept very calm, and, you know, they probably were talking business, and then he woke up and found himself dead, you know.
Yeah, but you said he had a paper in his hand?
Yeah, he had a newspaper,
You also said that someone is a person of interest to the police.
They said that he walked in with an attorney. Don't you live in Barbados?
I told you, I deliberately chose not to read anything about Chris since was found shot, because it has just upset me so much that I decided I didn't want to read anything. I just left it. When I've come to terms with it, then I will do my own investigation.
Okay. Yeah. Very interested. Is there anything else you want to say to his children, to his wife?
Well, I certainly would like to offer my deepest condolences to his wife and the children and the rest of his family.
That means that you don't even know if he's going to be sent back to Guyana, because he's Guyanese, isn't he?
You're gonna really show me it now, because I can't even answer that question. I've always thought of Chris as a Bajan. I've never thought of him other than a Bajan.
But you knew he was Guyanese, right?
I knew his father and or his mother may have come from another island, but I always thought that he was born here.
Oh, okay.
I always thought that.
Okay. So 30 years,
and you don't know
where he was born.
No, I don't. No, well, I always thought that he was born in Barbados. So you're now making me more curious.
Because I lived in Barbados for 4 years recently, and you meet someone, they say, yeah, he's here in Barbados, but he was born in England. Or, yeah, see, his father's gone. You hear things. And
a lot of that time, those 30 years, I spent overseas. So even though I was overseas, I still considered Chris my friend, because every time I came home and I saw him, we would pick up where we left off and chat. So I was away for many of those years. Mm-hmm. This is why there was not that much contact during that period of time.
Right. So was he generous? Was he someone that if you went out, he would say, don't worry, I have this tab, or was he cheap, or what kind of person was he?
I've known him to be a very generous person. If Chris, I've known or heard of situations where Chris had helped individuals financially, and he was always willing to help if someone came to him and genuinely, had a problem. I've always seen him to be generous.
Yeah, I never demonize anyone. I always believe that everyone, we're not so dissimilar. I feel that talking, that's why I like talking on these shows. I think that if we were to talk enough and honestly enough, we would realize that we're not so different from other people. And if he had to sell drugs to feed his family, there's a Michael Carrington, you may not know him, but he's a politician there in Barbados, and he sits in Parliament, and he probably stole more, or he's probably more of a criminal than Chris could ever be. So, it all depends on who's looking at what, and, it's all left up to interpretation and who is going to judge you, and no one can really judge people because, we all have our, dark side. So, this show is not in any way, in no way, no form, to say that Chris Hawksworth was a bad person. He did what he had to do. He can't. Everyone is going to die. It may not be by a bullet, but it could be cancer or whatever else that takes you down. But we all will die. And his transition, hopefully, was very quick. Probably didn't even know what hit him, no pun intended, but let's hope that his wife and his children can move on, and you can never forget, and you can never not be sorrowful when you think about loved ones that have passed on. But let's hope that they have the strength and the wherewithal, when they say wherewithal, I mean money, because sometimes someone dies and it's like, we weren't expecting someone to die at this particular time. We don't have any money to even, talk about burial. So let's hope that...
I would like to add to that. I sincerely hope that the case that was brought against the U.S. government comes to a successful end for his estate, and his family can go on and enjoy the support.
That's a pipe dream. That's not,
know if you know anything about law, but that sounds like a pipe dream, and it never really works that way. I've known people that spent 40 years in prison, and they've been wrongly accused, and, you know, they barely get anything out of life afterwards, you know. It's very, very rare that when you hear someone getting money from the United States government for false incarceration. That's very rare, very rare. So him not even living here, he'd be deported. I don't understand how American money is going to go to Barbados or funnel to anywhere else in the West Indies to a person who is someone who was not welcome. How would that have worked out? So that sounds like a pipe dream. So I hope she has a bank account. I hope she has a bank account.
The law firm in the UK that took this case up took the case without any upfront money.
That's another pipe dream there.
Offered to pay all the costs, and the costs had to have been extremely high because they made several trips to the United States. They made several trips to Barbados. No law firm in the world, particularly high street lawyers in London, will be spending hundreds of thousands of pounds.
You just answered the question that I was going to ask you. So,
I hope that it comes to a successor end to the family, and they can go on and have a life, some sort of life. Now, I've known people overseas in the UK, in Europe, Eastern Europe, Central Europe, who were and might still be involved in drugs.
One second, Charlie. Unless his wife and his kids, I don't know how the lawsuit was put together, but sometimes when someone dies, that portion of that lawsuit dies with that person. It's not as though you can say, okay, well, I'm the next of king, or, oh, yeah, I have a great, great, great grandson, and give them the money.
Chris's estate, the lawyers can actually continue the legal action on behalf of his estate, and the estate would then his wife would be an executor of the estate.
You don't know if they were part of the suit. You don't know if he was married to her when the suit started. You don't know. Sometimes, one second, Charlie. Sometimes people are not married, and when they do get married, they don't add their new wife to things, because let's say that he was thinking he was going to come into millions of dollars. Do you know the incentive that some people have by not adding the wife? A lot of men
will say,
I met 2 days before I met her, and if I get a lump sum, I don't want her name on the paperwork, I don't even want them to know that I'm married. That, you know, that's between me and this particular attorney and the courts here in the United States. And a lot of people exempt their wives or maybe family members because they don't want to share that money if it does come to fruition. They don't want to share it.
Well, I don't know the circumstances, but I can only hope that everything works out for them. And I'd start to say that I know many drug dealers in Europe, and I never had a problem knowing that they were drug dealers or even being present when they were discussing certain things. But here in Barbados, because of the society that we live in, the way it operates, I would never. If I met someone else that had a similar reputation as Chris, I would do the very same thing.
Okay.
In terms of not discussing it, not wanting to know, and that sort of thing. There's certain rules of engagement you have to comply with when you live in Barbados. Our society is that we've got a society here that we have to live by all set of different rules of engagement in order to just survive in this country.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so very much. We're going into an hour, and, you know, I start to get very tired after talking so long. But, yes, let's hope that he has a good burial. Let's hope the wife and kids are taken care of. Let's hope there's some kind of insurance. All we can do, I don't believe in hope and all kind of stuff, but I'm just saying this for purposes of the show. Let's hope that everything works out well for all involved, and let's hope that you don't cry like a baby at the funeral. You know.
I can't promise anything. I I can't promise anything. But thank you very much for having me on the show.
You are so welcome.
I'm happy to have the opportunity to speak on behalf of my friend Chris.
Yes.
And people tend to misinterpret what you say. So anyone listening to the show, I'd like to remind everyone that my reason for coming on the show is because of my respect and my love for Chris, my friend, and I welcome the opportunity to say some positive words on his behalf. And, I'm not here in any way for any malicious reasons or any, and I hope that anything I may have said will not be misinterpreted, because Chris was indeed my friend,
yeah.
And he will always be remembered in a positive way.
You were very kind, and I appreciate that. If anyone said he had an outside woman, or that he was bisexual with me, and it wasn't a question, it was only a question, because that's what I do, I have to ask questions. So, but you were very kind, and I want to thank you for coming into the studio to speak about your friend of 30 years. He had an unfortunate passing in Barbados. We think it's a drug-connected assassination, and we send out our condolences to his family. Thank you so very much, Mr. Spice.
Thank you very much.
You're so welcome. Bye-bye.
Yes, that was part two of the interview I had yesterday with Charlie Spice, and that is on Blog Talk if you ever want to hear the full interview and whatever is going on within the Naked Departure radio world. You can check with Naked Departure on Blog Talk Radio. All of these links are on the website, nakeddeparture.com. You will see all there. If you're using a cell phone, you scroll down and you see the links come up. You see live links, all kind of links, all blinking lights. So we try to keep you informed. There's even a page on the website, nakeddeparture.com website, that is a live link page, and it shows you the different radio stations that we blog from, that we talk on. So there's no reason not to know what's going on. So thank you so very much. And that was part two of Chris Hawkworth's, what's his name? Hawkworth's interview with Charlie Spice. And we want to also again mention the Red Sea drug dealer and have him write a blog into Naked Departure and release all the names of the people in Parliament. We don't care about the other drug dealers. Everyone needs to make a living. And one day, all of, what is illegal now will be legal in the future. So for me, I'm not interested in who's selling drugs. We just want to know who are the elected officials who are crooked, who are criminals. They're the ones who put you behind bars. They're the ones who want to, slap you with charges and want the police, the not-so-royal police department, to come and knock on your door and scare you. They're the ones that I would like their names. I want the names of the people in Parliament who are crooked, who are on the take, who pay you to buy votes, to get money to people in the community, to buy votes for their election. And those are the names that we hope that Ross or whoever else is dealing drugs in Barbados, we would like you to contact Naked Departure, because there could be a bullet with your name on it. And if you go down, if your family has to mourn you and cry and, whatever else happens when someone is gone and no one expects it to happen at such a early age or at such an inopportune time, we're hoping that you can leave a letter, a note, something for them. If not given to nakeddeparture.com, they can give it to the newspaper in Barbados, and have these people who sit in Parliament and who are raping the ordinary Barbadian with taxes and fees, and everything is another, another penny, another 5 cents. And every time you look around, there's more taxes and more taxes. Tell us their names. Expose them.
so that not only Barbadians, but the UN and the world at large can take a look at these people. I thank you so very much, and the show has come to an end. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Unfortunately, we've come to the end of this episode of Naked Departure Talk Show. If you would like to appear as a guest on the show, simply email our producer at nakeddeparture@gmail.com or message us directly from the show page. We would love to have you as a guest on the show. You can listen to a repeat of this episode at any time in the future. Simply go to our show page at blogtalkradio.com/nakeddeparture and follow the links. I would like to thank our guests, the discussion panel, and the production team. I would also like to thank the listeners for tuning in and giving us an audience. We will now leave you with the sweet jazzy sounds of Trade Winds by Alan Trotman and Jonathan Butler.